I've got so much paperwork. Let me start out with this first, a couple of little snippets. Sometimes, again, it's good to listen to some positive things or humorous things even as we go through life. This one is titled, "The Lord is My Shepherd." A Sabbath school teacher decided to have her young class memorize one of the most quoted passages in the Bible, Psalm 23. She gave the youngsters a month to learn the chapter. Little Rick was excited about the task, but he just couldn't remember the psalm. After much practice, he could barely get past the first line. On the day that the kids were scheduled to recite Psalm 23 in front of the congregation, Ricky was so nervous. When it was his turn, he stepped up to the microphone and said proudly, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know." Being thankful, a minister said to a precocious 6-year-old boy, "So your mother says your prayer is with you each night? That's very commendable. What does she say?" The little boy replied, "Thank God he's in bed." This one is unanswered prayer. The preacher's 5-year-old daughter noticed that her father always paused and bowed his head for a moment before starting his sermon. One day she asked him why. "Well, honey," he began, proud that his daughter was so observant of his messages, "I'm asking God to help me preach a good sermon." "Well, how come he doesn't answer it?" she asked. And this one is untimely answered prayer. During the minister's prayer one Sabbath, there was a loud whistle from one of the back rows. Tommy's mother was horrified. She pinched him into silence, and after church she said, "What made you do such a thing?" Tommy answered soberly, "I asked God to teach me to whistle," and he did. Okay, one more here. When my daughter Kelly said her bedtime prayers, she would bless every family member, every friend, and every animal, current and past. For several weeks after we had finished the nightly prayer, Kelly would say, "And all girls." This soon became a part of her nightly routine to include this closing. Curiosity got the best of me, and I asked her, "Kelly, why do you always add the part about all girls?" Her response, "Because everybody always finishes their prayers by saying all men." She added all girls. Anyway, we're going to get some of that at camp this coming year from the preteens that will be coming in. I checked our registration figures, and at Camp Chattahoochee, we're already at about 108 right now. So if you remember when this first started, I remember the first figures. This is including staff and campers as well. But we started out with 68 our first year, and then we went to 78, and then we are up, I can't remember if it was up into the 80s, and then it constantly grew into the hundreds, and that's where we've been. So I think as the word has gotten around, I was on the phone with one of the mothers for about an hour this past week, and she was telling me about her little granddaughter was just so looking forward to camp and the friendships and all that, and she couldn't underestimate the value that she felt that this had. I'm sorry that it's only 3 days, but we are actually stretching it into a fourth day this year. I'm going to see how this takes its toll on our staff. They seem to be pretty energetic, but we're going to see after that fourth day is done. It's not really a full day, but usually they would end up leaving somewhere around Wednesday evening. We'd wrap it up there, and most would depart from camp on Wednesday. This time we're going through and having dinner and then going through to the next morning to where they'll check out. We'll probably have one extra Christian living class, and then they'll depart by noon on that day. So I wanted to proceed slowly with this and see how this goes. But thankfully, because of the individual that purchased that camp, we're able to extend an extra day with no extra cost. In fact, he reduced the price this year about $1,400. So we've really been blessed with that and looking forward to it. So we're very, very grateful. We had some help with in negotiations from Mr. Patrick Scarborough. Really appreciate his help with that, and he's looking into the Sam's and Costco, so we can get donations and free food, which should even cut down on our costs even more. So we constantly look and try to refine, try to make it so where everybody can go. We've got scholarship programs, And again, there's a process in going through that as well. So it's something that every year we really look forward to. Please keep praying for God's blessing to be upon all of the camps this year. We really do need and appreciate God's help for good weather and for safety and protection as well. So people come from all over, many different places. I think we're represented by about 8 to 10 states sometimes. As far as last year, we had them come to Camp Chattahoochee as far as Colorado. So Colorado, Texas, Missouri, even New York State, other areas. So they come from all over and really seem to enjoy it so much. So, okay, well, I'll get into the sermon today. Lots of information here. I brought this for those that can pretty much see this. This is just a leaf, but it's a new leaf. So what I'd like to do today is for all of us to be able to turn over a new leaf. It's something to think about today from what I'm continuing to talk about, what I did last time I was here on God's blessing of healing. If we go back to Exodus chapter 15, Exodus 15, God's healing and blessing when it comes to our health is very important. And it's a scary thing in the church today as we look around. And frankly, if you've done any shopping recently, sometimes I'll go into a Walmart or some other store and I'll just look around. I'm a people watcher. I'll go to airports and I just love watching the varieties like snowflakes of different people and wondering about their backgrounds and where they're from and, you know, what makes them tick. But most of the time when I look around, I'm looking at people and seeing how unhealthy that we are. We are falling into disrepair worse and worse all the time, and God does not want this, especially for his people. Back here, he made a promise to them. Exodus 15, verse 22, it says, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which means bitter. And the people murmured against Moses. That this seemed to be a constant. In fact, if you would even think about it, I always thought, what a tough time it must be for a leader. I think we're facing that even in our day and age now. No matter who's in a leadership position, no matter what official, government or president even today, to struggle against people that just constantly will murmur and gripe and accuse and complain. This is what Moses faced on a constant basis. But verse 25, Moses, as it says, was probably the meekest who ever lived, so that God knew who he was choosing when he placed Moses into that position. It says, he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast into the waters were made sweet, and there he made for them a statute and an ordinance. This came from the word mishpat, which means really a judgment, and there he proved them. And he said, if you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and you will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. That's Yahweh Rapha. So God does heal, and he is concerned about the health of his people. From the very beginning, healing has been a matter of obedience and faith. So I can ask you all out here today, because I basically know not just the commandments, but I believe that we all understand and know of the statutes as well. So if somebody were today to come in and say to compliment the meal that we'll be having, if they said, you know, I've got some wonderful drawn butter lobster tails. I mean, if you ever seen those, they actually look pretty good. And years ago, before I knew about God's health laws, I remember it probably was the senior prom because lobster tails were very expensive, at least at that time. But I found out at that time, if you put drawn butter on nails, they'll probably taste good. But a white flesh. So would that tempt any of you? Lobster tails? I doubt it. How about a nice pork roast? I mean, sometimes when you fry that bacon, doesn't that just smell so wonderful? It smells good. It looks not too good. I've got to say that. I don't know how anyone could eat that. Because I saw, as I recently looked through that section, I saw some of this bacon. I said, I don't see any meat on it. It's mostly fat. Then we go to the scriptures and it says, don't eat the fat. And that means including the beef fat as well. So I don't think that would be tempting either, would it? So we've got most of those down pretty good, I think. We wouldn't want anything that's got, and we will look. We do pretty good jobs at looking. Sometimes we slip up. A lot of times if you go out to a restaurant and you order a salad and they bring it and go, I forgot to tell them no bacon bits, right? And so many times we'll send it on back. You know, we don't want the bacon bits in there. We understand that. But there's a lot of other things that are doing harm to God's people as well. You know, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Does anybody remember what that says? My people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. I believe God's people today are not studying and looking and reading and make whatever excuse we might make as well, but it tastes good. And we're getting sick. And we should be the healthiest people on the face of this earth. But I don't believe we are. And I'm looking around us and saying, we're sick. And now I've got to take that phrase and go look at my own mirror. Because I don't like getting sick, but I do. Something is wrong. Well, it's the way the body functions. But when enough toxins start to build up and your immune system is taken down by a multitude of factors, by the way, that's what we all have to take a look at. Something goes wrong and we get sick. That's a signal. Something is not right here. We should be a healthier people. Proverbs chapter 4. Let's go here. Proverbs chapter 4. Well, then we'll examine some figures here as well. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words. Listen to me, as he's told Israel. Listen to what I'm saying here. This goes beyond pork products and shellfish. Because most of us here would not go get a salad of poison ivy. You would probably not eat birch bark. There's some knowledge that's here of things, yeah, we don't eat those things. That's not something that you eat. So we look and there's a huge amount of knowledge that's gone, by the way, when it comes to the herbs that God has given to us. And it's not easy. It requires a lot of study and looking into things. What can we do? And asking God for the wisdom. I don't believe we're searching enough. Listen to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to their flesh. So there are specifics here. You know, the first one that you can get from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, there was a man actually that went through many different medical procedures and they couldn't find a solution. He actually looked at this scripture and found out 4 points here, specific directions for taking God's word as medicine for the physical body. Here it was. One was, attend to my words, read the instructions. The second was, incline your ears to my sayings. In other words, listen very closely to what I'm saying. The third is, let them not depart from your eyes. And 4, keep them in the midst of your heart. let this be a way of life, a part of your life. Many of us, I'm encouraging to turn over the new leaf today, to look at ourselves and go, what do I have to do in my life? You know, the book of James, as we went through it last time, you know, it says confess your faults. It says talk to each other. You know, I've had to look at myself and going, what is it as a pastor that can tend to bring one's health down? Lots of things. There's a great amount of stress. I remember going to, it was called a pastor appreciation lunch. The man had me in tears. He was talking about the reality that there's probably a 70 to 80% attrition rate. In general, pastorships today, among even professing Christianity, they just wear out. There's just way too much of a stress load. And when he talked about these things, I'm going, wow. And at the end, I found out I got they asked who had the most churches. I actually got the award for the most churches. It's typical that a pastor is going to have one church. And oh, would it be nice? Dear God, could I just have one church so I could take care of that one church? My first assignment was six churches with no elders, no help there. That was with three kids and a dog. Some say, well, how do you do it? I asked God that too. So one at a time. That's all you can do. And so we've got a pastorship out there now in the Church of God that's stretched out. And that's aging. And so we need to consider that, even ourselves especially. Did a look in the mirror with my wife's encouragement. I joined a health club this past week. Need the exercise. Because most of our jobs are sitting and driving and working at a computer. My body, it takes its toll. And as I'll be turning 60 June 1st, I don't want to start health failing at 60 years old. So all of us have got to take a look. You're not the only ones. But as I look around, I'm seeing here's a people that aren't doing too well. Are we not listening to what God is saying? It goes beyond pork products and shellfish. What are we eating? Are you reading what's on the labels? How many people here, in fact, would like you know, you won't eat the pork, you won't eat the shellfish. How about a nice bowl of human hair? Would you ever eat human hair? Look at L-cysteine. If you see it on your ingredients, strong possibility you're eating human hair. What do you think about that? Would you like to make a change there? Because you can get products without L-cysteine. But it's not easy. But if I look on the label and I see L-cysteine, well, but it tastes good. You really want some human hair? So we've got to be more educated and asking God for wisdom, that we can find better things to eat. You know, it was years ago, and I still have coffee. I don't normally drink it all day, but I used to put a lot of sugar in it. And then I just one day said, I know that this white sugar is not good for you. So if we want to sweeten anything now, we use honey. But some people will say, well, that doesn't taste good. Do you know why? If you see anything now that's got high fructose corn syrup in it, probably the worst thing that you can put in your body. Do you believe me, or do you want to do your own research? I'm tired of looking around and seeing God's people sick and not doing well. When we don't eat the pork and we don't eat the shellfish, but we're stuffing everything else in our body, that's not good for us. As soon as you put that in, it's doing something bad for your body. Well, it's just a little bit here, but we're getting little bits here and little bits there, and we're sick. We're not healthy. Lack of knowledge. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. So I'm doing a topic here today that's got to do a little bit more on the physical side, but it affects our spiritual health as well. And if we're not willing to take a look in the mirror and change some things physically, my concern is, are we willing to change things spiritually as well? The physical things really aren't that difficult. I mean, when I came into the church, there was the list. I mean, that was kind of a neat list because I saw things that we weren't going to eat anymore. And I know for my mom, it was progressive because we went from Wonder Bread. If you remember that, you could bite into the sandwich and it would stick to the top of your mouth. Roll it up in a ball. Basically, if you looked at it, it's a ball of nothing. All the minerals and any good things are taken out of it. So my mom graduated to Roman meal. Roman meal was simply Wonder Bread with a brown crayon dipped in it. There was not a whole lot good in there, too. And still to this day, I look and try to find something. In fact, so many people nowadays can't even eat bread because they're allergic to it. Where's that coming from? Why do we have all these allergies? And I can't eat that. I can't drink milk. I can't eat this. I can't. Even things that God designed for us to be good, people can't eat. Have you ever questioned, why is this? Yes, I know. Sometimes it has to do with genetics. But are we really looking at this and trying to change something in our life that God wants us to be healthy? And he wants us to be informed. And it's not easy. It's very difficult. So this person, by the way, his name was Derek Prince, went through his change in his life. And there have been people that have changed their lifestyles and what they were taking in and their whole mental outlook toward things. And they were healed. He said, I began to read the Bible 3 times a day after meals because that's how people normally take medicine. I said, God, you have said of these words of yours will be medicine to all my flesh, and I'm taking them as my medicine now. He said and prayed in Jesus' name. He said, within a few months, God's medicine taken that way achieved the results God promised. I was totally healthy in every area of my body. It's so great to see that. That people actually grab onto something and say, I'm going to make some changes and I'm going to appeal to God for his health because he's the one that made my body and he understands. He understands when something's wrong. That's understandable. Romans 10 verse 14, how will they then call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him if they had not heard, and how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I'm trying to bring those to you today. Glad tidings of good things. Because you can actually make good products and not have to use white sugar. Because I heard the complaints after the church started, was on the so-called health binge, and they would go, oh, we preached against that sugar, and we preached in all that heavy bread that you couldn't make it without it sinking to the bottom of the pool. Again, lack of information. There's a way to get or to make bread that's actually good for you and healthy and nutritious. And by the way, it doesn't always have to be brown per se. I know there are some good sourdoughs. But it takes work. But I don't want to go through the day, and as we go along the road, there's your Burger King, there's your McDonald's, there's everything that goes with your processed food, with your nitrates and everything else. You look at these things and go, that's not good for me, so I'm going to take, I got the pork out, I got that out, I got the sugar out. The mom eventually progressed, went to Roman meal, to something else. I think after that she started eating what was called Ezekiel bread. That was a little too rough for me. But again, there's lots of different alternatives that are out there. Not just speaking of bread, speaking of other things as well. Some of the meats that we eat are injected with hormones. It's difficult. I know this. It's very difficult. But we can't just look in the mirror and go, I've got to change. I'm tired of being sick, and then not do anything. Verse 16, it says, but they've not all obeyed the gospel, the good news. Yes, this is not only, you know, we preach the gospel, the kingdom of God. Do you know what that means? That means in the kingdom of God, you'll be teaching the same thing that I am right now. You'll be teaching other people about what God says is clean and not clean. Wow, it's going to be interesting to see some of the expressions. Really? We're not supposed to eat that? No, it's really bad for you. And by the way, there are other things we're going to do to change this. The good news is we're going to have good soil again. It's not going to be robbed by putting chemical nutrients in it. No more sprays and toxins and poisons. It's no wonder we get so sick because the battle is that hard. This is difficult. But we can't lay down and cave and keep being sick because it affects us mentally as well and spiritually. So it says, faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Verily, their sounds of the preachers went to all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? For Moses said, I'll provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not for me. But to Israel he said, all day long I've stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying. This was a disputing and doubting and murmuring people. We need to be a people that have positive, sound minds. It's very, very difficult to have a positive, sound minds when you have a sick body. That's a struggle. So we need to change. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Let's look at some examples here, because I know as well that you do that sometimes you can get on this pendulum factor to where everything becomes about one thing. I understand that. For a while there, I forget, at least 10 years ago, and it's still around. It came from some tree in Australia. Some of you might have even gotten into some distribution of what was called Melaleuca. It's got some positive things about it, but it's not the answer. It doesn't provide the solution to everybody's sicknesses. So now the big thing, and I've seen it, and there are some good things about that. The oils that have come out. Hey, I'm all for oils, thieves and things that like that. When you do some research and you see some good things about that, but it doesn't replace a bad diet and other things that are going to us as well. So we're trying to find all these solutions, and people aren't changing the lifestyles and the way that they eat and what they take into their body. And other things as well that we're going to be going over. So there is a balance there. And I'm glad to see some of the education, because 5 years ago, I don't know if we knew about oils. I don't use oils every day. I take supplements. I don't even take those every day. But it's a matter of trying to get a balance on, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to take care of what should I be doing? What am I taking in? Mark 5, verse 25, here there was a certain woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years and suffered many things of the physicians. Now, sometimes you look at that and go, well, I'm not going to go to a physician anymore, and I'll tell you this. When you go to a physician, you better be receiving the prayers of everyone. Because though there's some good that they can do, especially in corrective surgeries and things of that nature, there's a lot of bad things. I know we had a woman in one church that had a knee surgery. She almost died from the knee surgery because they cut one of the major arteries going through there. I've had people tell me they went and got this done, and they told me this later on after it was done, whatever they went through, they go, I would have never done that again. Sometimes it's an amount of finding out information, getting second opinions, and if some doctor told me, no, that's the way it is, bye. So we can look into a little bit more of that as well. This is a huge topic, by the way. I hope to get it done today. But she suffered many things of the physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better, but actually got worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I just can touch his clothes, I'll be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that power had gone out of him, turned and said, Who touched my clothes? And the disciples said, well, you see everybody around you, what? And you ask who touched me? And you look around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done to her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. He says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your plague. You know, sometimes I realize, as difficult as it is, there is a necessity to go and see a physician. It could be for a broken bone. It could be a dentist that you've got to get a cavity filled. Something that you've got to go take a look at. There was a woman some years ago, probably in her early 70s, had a heart problem. And without a new valve, she wouldn't have been able to survive. So they went and pulled and put a heart valve. Tell you what, the prayers that she received and the great news from the doctor, because the doctor says, I know it's God who heals. That's the one I want if I'm going to have some kind of corrective surgery that believes that they're just an instrument and tool of maybe fixing something that might be wrong. There's a survey that was done, it says, by the American Academy of Family Physicians that shows, it's almost hard to believe here, but it says that 99% of doctors believe a relation exists between faith and physical healing. I've seen most have probably actually experienced that. They've seen the miracles. By the way, this person that went through the corrective surgery on her heart, the doctor said, I've never seen somebody recover as fast as this woman recovered. We just have not seen this before. So many times that it's been a witness of things that are unprecedented. It says here, recently more than 1,000 healthcare professionals met at Harvard Medical School to examine the connection between spirituality and healing. Even though their minds not be opened, they've had enough experience to see, you know, this shouldn't be working, and it is. Something's going on here that I cannot explain. It says, doctors' faith was bolstered by a California study of the effect of prayer on recovery from heart problems. About 200 heart patients were assigned to Christians who prayed for them, while an equal number of control group received no prayers. Neither group knew about the prayers, yet those who received prayer developed half the complications that were experienced by those in the control group. A similar study done by the Dartmouth Medical School examined the effect of prayer on healing when the patients prayed for themselves. The death rate 6 months after bypass surgery was 9% for the general population, but about 5% for those who prayed for their own healing, and none of the deeply religious patients died during the period of the study. This is from the Associated Press. So that's why I've always appreciated the doctor that says, I can only try to fix or repair a problem within the body, but it's God is the one who heals. So I know that we deal with these things on a regular basis because of what we're going through. So my what I'm trying to say today is this is not a condemnation of physicians. It's asking each and every one of us to look in to see what's going on. When I've walked in on a church member that was in the hospital, saw a tube going, said, by the way, what is that? What are they putting in you? Well, I don't know, and I'm shocked. I'm going, you're kidding me. You allowed them to attach the tube and put some kind of fluid in, and you have no idea what it is? I can't understand that. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You've got to ask. See, what some don't realize is when you go into a doctor, even though you may have Medicare or you may have something that will pay for it, you've contributed to that. You don't allow them to tell you what to do. They figure it out. They can go, here's the diagnosis, and here's some of the treatments. Then you make the choice on what you need to do or find out more information about it. But don't let something do something to your body and just give yourself over. That's not what God wants us to do ever. He wants us to be educated. Second Chronicles, let's go see an example here of someone that didn't do it right. Second Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. I believe you all remember this one. There was another one as well. This is the example here of Asa in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12. It says, Asa was in the 39th year of his reign, and he was diseased in his feet. He had a problem, a disease that came up. Until his disease was great, yet in his disease, he did not seek God, but he went to the physicians. Now, some again could conclude, see, well, that says that's sinful. No, it says he didn't go to God. It says, so he slept with his fathers and died in the 141st year of his reign. You know, even Asa was noted as a good king. So many times when you look in there, they had problems trusting God. You know, it says God is our healer. This is the one that we appeal to at Passover, the one that died so and was beaten so we could be healed. Yes, I know, it's a difficult thing and a very personal thing on what someone does. But I will tell you this, God should always come first. God provides a way of thinking in order for us to develop a harmonious relationship of faith and obedience, that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ will be a complete sacrifice, one that acknowledges our spiritual healing as well as the physical. In 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 2, let's look into this example here today. In 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 2, this is a king named Ahaziah. It says, he fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, and he was sick. And he sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. See, we probably have that kind of paganism within the world today. But there are those that still believe, even though they've not been called. They do believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Once again, I believe that that's historical, passed on from those that came over, that there's a belief in Jesus Christ. There are many people out there that are not in the church of God that are healed, that they look to God. There are those that pray to God, one that they don't know as fully as we might, and God delivers and answers. We've won battles, World War II, that wasn't fought by church members, by the way, and God provided miracles for us to be a country, to survive as a country, intervened for many. I've read books on some that weren't called, that one decided not to carry a gun. He went through the German army. I believe that was 1,000 Shall Fall. You've read that before. This man believed in God. God didn't open up his mind to understand, but he prayed and he believed in God and he survived through the war. When you see the miracles of what occurred, and there's other stories that have occurred as well. When I look at those examples, I say, how much more we that God has given to understand fully what he says in his word because of his Holy Spirit. Yet we fall so short. We think, well, as long as I keep the Sabbath day, as long as I don't eat shellfish and things like that, then I'm okay, and proceed to go to your local Dairy Queen, processed sugar, just nothing good that's there. But it tastes good, and it looks so good, and it's so bad for us. If we were the epitome of health, I could understand. Occasional this, I don't think we're at that point. I think we're at the point where just a little one here and a little one there is not good for our bodies because they're already down. So he went and sought the god of Ekron. But the angel of the Lord, it said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it not because there's a god in Israel that you go to Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, says the Lord, you shall not come down from that bed on which you are gone up, but you will die. This was such a poor example. Here was the king that was seeking pagan gods for healing. What happened to the god of Israel? Where was he? And he died. And you see all the miracles that took place after that, so many things that took place. Well, let's look now. In 1971, you know, there's a booklet, at least I think the publication was back in the 1970 or 71, within the church as a whole. There are other renditions, editions come out since then. It talked about the laws of radiant health. Remember that? There were seven laws of radiant health. You know, back at that time, there were 339,000 cancer deaths in the United States and 900,000 that were undergoing treatment in 1971 for cancer. So I did the research and looked up. In 2016, there were 1,685,210 new cancer cases just in the U.S. Wait, I thought we progress, don't we? 1971, here we are, 2016. You would think that we'd be more educated, that we'd be smarter, that we'd avert some of these things. It's worse. Yet they say, well, people are living longer. Number one, I'm not sure if I even buy that. But if they are, what kind of living longer are they doing? Because if I go visit a hospital, most of it's all packed. Local clinic, filled, files on everybody's sicknesses. Drug companies going like crazy and surviving like crazy because people want to get a fix. I don't want to take care of the issue, the problem. Take the pill. Take the fix. And within that, there's your tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To where it may do something good. It may take care of that problem, but it's hurting something else. That's not what God's way does. So close to 1.7 million new cancer cases diagnosed. 595,690 cancer deaths. That's 1,630 per day. 1,600 people are dying today of cancer in the U.S. That's just cancer. I didn't go into heart disease, every other disease that's out there as well. When I'm riding along the road, this is part to do with the radiant health as well. Why are there so many deaths on the road in Tennessee? It's upwards, I can't even remember what it was. It's over 900 per year just on traffic accidents on the road. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's a scripture that should be very important to us here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And what I would like really today, as we stop on the Sabbath, thank God he gave us this, because normally you're going to get something different every week, a different topic, something that might be, you know, historical about an account. Those are testimonies that are supposed to help us too. Sometimes different topics. I can't remember when I gave one like this. Yes, it's physical, but it's spiritual. It's spiritual as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, because I'm afraid as I look around God's people overall, I say, we're not doing too good. And I'm not out there pointing the finger or looking at you. I've got to look in the mirror and go, what can I do to better take care of myself? It says in verse 20 here, you are bought at a price. So therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is something we committed to. Now, God gave us some basics, which were great. It's wonderful to understand this, about how God created everything for a specific purpose. And the more I read, by the way, it's interesting. I get a tendency, more like a nature magazine, and they're trying to replace and help the mussel population, M-U-S-S-E-L, the clams, the mussels population to grow within the river. I believe it was said, if I'm going to try to get this quote to you because it's so unbelievable, it seems like a mussel will filter 5,000 gallons of water per day. That's what it does. God made it a purpose to clean the water. And so what they find when there's mussels in a certain area, there's more of a fish population. Because the fish know where clean water is. Filtered water. Very interesting. And so we live in a society today, and I've talked to the professionals about it, and say, we put fluoride in the water because it's going to strengthen the tooth. I say it's toxic. Well, no, it's toxic. Go read it. There it is. I mean, you can either buy it or go ahead and drink that. It's very difficult. So what's the next best thing? Let's go to the plastic water bottles that are probably not very good for us either. Again, it's difficult. It's very difficult to do. But we've got to keep trying. We can't keep getting worse. Let's reverse this. Let's reverse this process and put God into it. God, what do I do? Show me, guide me, and then read, learn, educate yourself. Sometimes, again, the snake oil salesmen that are out there, I was watching one infomercial program to where, and this somehow gets to women, because if you do some of these things, then you'll just look like you're 30 years old, even at 90 years old. So just all you do is the creams and all this, and some guy comes out, they put a lab coat on him and say, well, this doctor has found a melon in France, the melon guy. So this is going to solve all the women's problems, and they've got all the elite Cindy Crawfords in their show. Oh, look at how wonderful her skin is. You know why they put the little tinges of makeup on, you know, before they get out? Oh, look at how wonderful this is. So this is where the battle is. You know, to fight the snake oil salesman, but asking God for the sense that we need to at least read your label, see what you're taking in, and then ask God to help you find alternatives. Because I could say everyone here should go all organic. Where organic is probably better, I'm not so certain all the time if it really is organic, because I know the society lies. So you can only do the best that you can do. And God understands that. You're asking for wisdom. Help me that I can have a healthier body in order to serve you. This body is a temple of the Spirit. When it's sick, that Spirit can't do really what God wants it to do. So if you think about that, seven laws of healthy living. I want to finish with this today. This is... It's such refreshing to take a look. What are we doing here? Now, I could give you maybe, how about, say, 10, 15 seconds. Go ahead and write some of those health laws down if you remember them. How many do you remember? Da, 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 dun, da, dun, 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 dun. A little time, how many, can you remember? Can you remember what, you know, if we can't, wow. We're not doing so well to start. Well, obviously, like I just spoke up, point one, at least from this rendition back in 1970, had to do with food and fasting. The number one point was food, and maybe some of you thought about that already. I think we really do underestimate fasting. When you do some of the research that's in the fasting, this one I just pulled off, it says the potential benefits of intermittent fasting. Since the body is unable to get its energy from food during fasting, it dips into glucose that's stored into the liver and muscles. Now, I've heard of something this before. This was just a different article that supports the other one. It says this begins around 8 hours after the last meal is consumed. When the stored glucose has been used up, the body then begins to burn fat as a source of energy, which can result in weight loss. A detoxification process also occurs because any toxins that are stored in the body's fat are dissolved and removed from the body. He adds, noting that after a few days of fasting, now he's speaking actually of a fast where you just take food out, but that you drink water. So if this would be good as well. Sometimes we just think, well, I'm going to fast, which is good to do. I recommend once a month for God's people doing a spiritual fast. But if you could get through a day and just drink water and fluids to really flush your systems, you might find yourselves feeling a lot better because it's taking the toxins out. This is the way God made it to be. He says, after a few days of fasting, higher levels of endorphins, the feel-good hormones, are produced in the blood, which can have a positive impact on mental well-being. The study by, his name is Dr. Longo, he says, and colleagues, suggests prolonged fasting may be also effective for regenerating immune cells. When you starve, the system tries to save energy, and one of the things it can do to save energy is to recycle a lot of immune cells that are not needed, especially those that might be damaged. In their study, published in the journal Cell Stem Cell, the team found that repeated cycles of 2 to 4 days without food over a 6-month period destroyed the old and damaged immune cells in mice and generated new ones. What's more, the team found out that cancer patients who fasted for 3 days prior to chemotherapy were protected against immune system damage that can be caused by the treatment, which they attribute to immune cell regeneration. The good news is that the body got rid of the parts of the system that might be damaged or old, the inefficient parts during the fasting. It says, with the potential health benefits of fasting widely hailed by nutritionists worldwide, it's no wonder that many are putting out the love of food to one side in order to give it a try. So again, this is a process I know for me, sharing this with you and going through it. I think one of the first times I believe I learned how to fast and fasted, normally, again, the Day of Atonement has been one of those days, I get a headache. I bet many of you have felt the same thing because your body is craving something. It wants something that you're doing regularly. For me, I found out it was coffee. It told me I was drinking too much coffee. So I say, cut it back. I don't get headaches when I fast anymore. I do, though, get some times where you get to a point to where your body just feels exhausted. It's so hard to fast sometimes when you're doing the 24-hour and then you just feel, I feel like sleeping. I'm so tired. Our body's not used to it. And therefore, you get in the sugar cycle. So if we're used to eating a lot of sugars, now you got in a sugar dump, and it's the body's trying to adjust to this, and we get tired. See, when God's people fast, we actually ought to feel pretty good. There's a time in there, and I notice there's a pattern. I notice still, you know, there's a little time in there, and maybe it's a time that you can go for a walk, breathe in some fresh air, do something. And you'll find out that you get through that. And I find out that at the end of the fast, during the days, I'm actually feeling pretty good. I'm kind of going, I could go on another day on this. The body feels so good. There's something that God designed within this for us to be able to do this. We just have to do it more often. And when we've got food so readily available all the time, it's going, I'm hungry. We just, it's there. Refrigerator's there. Cupboard's there. Reach in. Have some chips. Have this. And we're taking in stuff that's not good for us. Water, we probably should be drinking, at least in the research that I've done, I don't think I'm drinking enough water, personally. So it says six to eight glasses. I think these were eight ounce. You might find yourself, you're not drinking enough water. And the body needs that to flush the system. Instead, more people reach for a sugar drink. And most of that, again, you look, and if you see high fructose corn syrup, it's horrible. Some will go, this is a day and age where people like to go to places like Ryan's or Golden Corral, because it's got all the food that you want. Did you ever do any research on what kind of food they have? It's probably not that good. Oh, you'll get a lot of it. Probably will taste good. Food and fasting. How about this one? Cleanliness and dress. Actually, cleanliness and dress has to do with that. Thankfully, I grew up with a family that taught me that. Hey, I looked forward to Wednesday. Wednesday was bed sheet changing day. We were clean. Clean the car, keep everything. It's got to do with a mindset. the way that we dress, the way that we appear, the way that we look, that we don't wear things that are raggy or tattery or dirty or stained. That's not what God expects for us either. Cleanliness, even sometimes you might have to look into what you're putting on your feet. Our shoes. Sometimes I'm going, oh no, they sold the woman. So sorry. But you bought it. Some of you didn't, which is really good. Hopefully most of you. I see these 4-inch heels. 4-inch heels. Did you ever do a study on what that does to your back? Oh, but it looks so good. It makes my leg look shapely. Oh, I forgot God left that one out. Somehow he didn't create the woman with a high heel. Just some guy that charges $225 for a pair of those that I don't even know how you can stand on them. How can that function? Oh, the guys have got their, they try to sell us, and I bought it for a while. Back in the late 70s there, I got my high heels. I didn't get platforms. If you remember the platform, it was really high. I got my heels. And when I was at my friend's, my heel came off and I fell down the steps. That was the last I ever wore heels. I'm done. They didn't make sense. But again, sometimes even in the footwear that we wear can have an impact. You know, when your back's out, there's a few here us that know about this. When your back's out and you're not feeling good, it's challenging and it's very difficult. Sometimes I remember I did some research on those that put the wallet in their back pocket, the guys. And when you're sitting in your car seat, it throws the back out. That's not good. What do? I put it in my front pocket. You know, it might not be as, you know, it might be easier, but it's not good for you. I'm not going to do purses. Not going there. Cleanliness, being clean. That was Grandma. Grandma was an RN. She's been dead for some time now. But when I got a cut, I go, oh, I got to go see Grandma. Grandma's going to run it under the water, clean it really good, and then put that methylate on it. Oh, that would sting like crazy. So then you found, well, you can use peroxide and other things, but we need to be clean because if you notice, sometimes if you haven't been clean, we've probably all gotten that way and not really cleaned it well, you'll get an infection. And then it really hurts. Cleanliness and dress. That was point two. Point three, sunshine and fresh air. I always say free vitamin D. Now, we're not to become sun worshipers as you go out and they're laying on the beach and then kind of toasting their bodies until they're this brown color. I forget, God didn't see something, you know. White people want to be dark. Dark want to be white. Curly-haired people want to be straight. It's almost humor in action. You know, you see God the Father and Jesus Christ looking down and going, look what they're trying to do again. You know, they keep trying to change. There it goes back to the murmuring Israelites. I believe by time that we're spirit beings and we get our spirit bodies, I think the murmuring, thankfully, would be left behind as well. I'll tell people, when you get your brand new spiritual body, you're going to love it. I don't totally know what it's going to be like, but it's better than we can ever. You won't hurt again, no suffering. God's got it designed perfectly. But we're working on this now today, on the physical bodies that he's given to us. So, yeah, there's an amount of sunshine that's actually good. At least the research that I found out in the older ages, the women need a little bit more of this. The vitamin D gets depleted. To get out in the sun for a little bit, to walk and to get some fresh air and to actually think about that. Sometimes we don't even think, take a deep breath of fresh air. I know sometimes, in fact, I don't have any with me, and I probably should here. I'll have to remember that too. But I call it the Preston, because Mr. Buchanan, who you've seen here before, would stop during his sermonette and pause and take a drink of his water. I go, that's a really good idea. We tend to rush through. My wife has told me at times, stop and take a breath, because I can start to go too fast. Understand that. It's something that we have to all work on together, but if you can get out just for a walk and maybe increase it a little bit, don't start big to where it becomes such a laborious thing that you won't look forward to it. You know, I didn't start my health club and start to do 1,000 pounds in one day. There's a process, and I want to be able to enjoy it, so I'll go back. So maybe short increments and then build up. And it's kind of fun. I hope I can get to this point again, but the last time I did something like this was back somewhere in the 70s there, and it was a racquetball club, and it just had this universal weight machine. So I remember starting out in those weights, maybe I'd start to bench press, say, 110. And I found out because every day I was there. You know, one day I would do an upper body workup, and the other day I would do a lower body workup. And I'd press the leg weights, and then I would get on the bicycle. And I would adjust the tension, so I was looking at a clock, 5 minutes on the tension. When I got off of that bike, I had to hold the handrail to go downstairs because it just was so weak. But later on, I could look in the mirror, and just with relaxing, everything was all perked up. It's kind of neat, you know. That's why they call them vanities, don't they? You can go, huh, that looks pretty good. That's vanity. It's not going to always last that way. But, you know, so I see some elderly people that are over there. I'm going, way to go. You want to get your exercise. You're taking care of yourself. Don't get to the point where you just, oh, it's not worth it. It is. It's worth it within your entire mindset. Turn over the new leaf today. Do something to change, to help your body. It's what God expects. Sunshine, fresh air. The fourth one was regular exercise. Regular exercise. I realize that's difficult. So difficult. I can let you know this, again, confessing my faults. Sitting and driving was taking its impact on my lower back. And when my lower back went out, I had to count to three to roll over in bed at night. It was so painful. And simply focusing in on working on, even minimally, it's helped. I need to do more. But even the minimal amount of being conscious about it, of pulling my tummy in, and even while I drive, I can work on exercises of pulling it in and holding it. It's information that I went out and sought and found out. And even that little bit, I was so grateful, helped me. So there's more needed, I understand that. But we need to get regular exercises, just a place that you can walk. Find a place that you enjoy, that you can go for a walk and meditate and talk with God. It stimulates deep breathing. It increases the blood circulation, and it also aids in the expelling of poisons for the system. It really is the way that God made it to be. How about sleep and rest? You know, all this compacts. You add the stress in, you add bad food in, not getting enough exercise, and you're not going to get a good sound sleep in at night. You know, you can be stressful, you can be going through a lot, and God certainly knows that. You can go through a lot of stress, and you can still have a sound sleep at night. Because what we learn to do is take all those troubles and go, God, I can't do that. Please take these. Your relationship will increase with God. And you'll find out that there are certain anxieties that you might have, that they'll always be there. We're always going to have stress in life, but it's the way that we focus and look on it. God doesn't want us to take all those and let it hammer our bodies to where all of a sudden everything starts going downhill. He understands that we're going to have tribulation and trials. He goes, come to me, seek me. You are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you what? Rest. That's a promise. Do we have faith? That's the question. Even in a physical manner. Sleep and rest, even during the day. Sometimes to just take a short nap. I think that the Spanish or Mexican population has got that one down pretty good. There is a time of rest. I don't know if it's a half an hour or what. They call it what? You know what it's called. It's called a siesta. Sometimes if you can. Again, not everybody is always able to. Sometimes if I'm driving on the road, I'll pull over at a rest area. Just put the seat back and just take a 15-minute rest. Just relax. The sixth point. So the fifth was sleep and rest. The sixth point, avoid. This is like, okay, how do you do this? Avoid bodily injury. I'm looking at this point. I'm going, well, how do you do that? Well, how do I avoid hitting my thumb with a hammer? Recognize there's the thumb. There's the hammer. That's pretty close. How many of us have done that before? Or knowing this is a thing a guy does. You get a wrench inside the car, and you're pulling it. And you're kind of going, man, if this thing slips, I'm toast. And it slips. You already knew it. You know, it's taking precautions, being a lot more careful with what we do. See, if people were a little bit more careful, we probably would not have over 900 deaths per year on the Tennessee highway system. I don't know what it is here. They're called accidents. Many times because people are texting or they're on drugs. I'm actually surprised that there aren't more because of all the medications people are taking. I am a little bit surprised, but I thank God for his protection. And you try to be more careful. I found out years ago, I would get home from a trip and I'd be so exhausted. I'm going, I didn't do anything physically from that point to make me that exhausted. But yet I thought, what am I doing? You know, as I'm driving, I know what's behind me and I know what's on side of me. Is that paid off at times? Maybe because of I had a motorcycle for a while. And you've got to be so careful. And even the danger there is there's just not the protection that a car affords. And so many times the accident's not called by the motorcyclist, by the person who you're around. When I rode one, I either stayed way ahead of people or I stayed way behind them. I would not, because I'm going to be in their blind spot. There it is. And while I was driving back from London one day, all of a sudden a semi pulled ahead. My wife jumps, of course, but I went over to the side. You know why? I knew that the side was the, I already knew. I'm already anticipating that somebody could pull over on me, so I'm thinking ahead. Who's behind me? Who's ahead of me? Who's on the side of me? And when I get home, I'm tired because I'm constantly focusing in on what's around me. Now, I'm not saying that I'm the best driver around. I'm not trying to get, I realize I'm thankful for God's protection in hundreds of thousands of miles that the ministry has to drive. We call upon that protection. But we've got to be careful. A lot of us have got injuries because maybe we weren't careful. My, I've tripped over the rug one time. I go, where'd that come from? Sometimes we're going too fast and not thinking. And in this society that we live in today, everything's fast. Everything's fast. I love the comedian from this London area. I listened to him a little bit. Hurley? Anyway, he was mentioning he was frustrated when these women would be texting. He goes, one time this woman was texting. She came over right into me. He had to jerk so hard, he said, that his hamburger and french fries went all over the dashboard. He teased on that because that's not the place to eat your lunch, is it? At least when you don't have your hands on the wheel. Again, it's something that we all have to just be careful on and work on. Being careful that we're not careless. So, yes, that's important. Because it takes work for our body to do the repair work. That's got to come, that's energy that it could be expended on other things. The seventh point, positive mental attitude. I love Galatians 5. Let's turn here. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Here's the positive outlook here. This is where we've come out of, coming out of Egypt, as we did when the Israelites, and coming out the days of unleavened bread, putting on the positive things, and then recognizing, you know, I realize what I'm telling you here, if you're not practicing it now, I know it's hard. So we have to take the Sabbath and say, oh, okay, do you believe what I just told you? Do you think it belongs in your care now to be able to take some words of truth here and to make a change and apply them in your life? And it's hard. And each and every one of us is going to have to find out what works for you. You know, I could take a cod liver oil pill, which I've done on occasion. In fact, I know a woman who died some time ago, but in her older age, she went to a cardiologist and he goes, Your heart is just so bad, there's no answer for it. She was too old to have any kind of surgery. He goes, I can only tell you to try, I'm going to suggest to you to try something. And so he recommended cod liver oil. So she took cod liver oil. Now, I'm not being a salesman for cod liver oil because I'm saying what worked for her may not work for you. But she tried something. And some months later, she went back to him and she told me that he says, I'm not sure what you're doing, but keep it up. So you've got to figure out, what can I change in my life that's going to help me to feel better, that's going to feed the body good nourishment, because there's so much bad that we're already putting in. Let's go to verse 16. I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary. So you cannot do the things that you wish. See, that's where we're in today. The flesh has got the pull. I love my Twinkies. You know, I've heard people go around and go, you know, they go, I could never get rid of my McDonald's hamburgers. I'm not willing to put those out. Okay. You will pay the price if that's what you take into your body that's not made to feed off of that stuff. But it's a fight. It says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the penalty of those laws. It's not going to happen to you. If you're careful, you're going to be less apt to get injured. If you breathe in clean, fresh air, your body's going to be oxygenized. It's going to work better. Exercise. You'll feel better. So the verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness or meekness, self-control. There it is. That's a big package there, the self-control aspect. I'm telling you, I realize it's not easy. If I could share one more experience with you, this is something that happened recently to me, that when I saw Mr. Trabig in Galveston, I said, wow, you're really looking good. I noticed that he slimmed down. He said, I cut out carbs. I just worked on cutting out carbs. He goes, I lost 10 pounds. I forget if it was in a couple of months. So eventually I tried it. I was hovering, I felt about 15 pounds above where I felt I should be. So I tried it. It's not easy. If you're used to grabbing, if you're hungry, grabbing some chips, or even if there would be healthy chips. Still carbs, depends on what oil they cook them into. You've got to look at that and examine that. But if you're so used to going to carbs all the time, that stores up the extra fat. I tried it. I lost 15 pounds just on that. And I didn't yet combine it with the exercise part. I could imagine doing that now, going back to the exercise as well. And all the other elements. I tell you what, when you try some of those and you start to feel better, and your body starts to feel better, it gives you more onus to continue on. It's too easy to lay around and just watch TV programs. Watch Fox News. That'll give you such a positive mental outlook, won't it? You know, I'll say within this, that positive mental attitude, there's ways to go about that. Your meditation and your walks maybe with God, thinking and talking about these things. Maybe good music. Good music is such a positive thing as well. Grew up in a happy family. We played music. Lots of positive, encouraging music. Philippians chapter 4. We'll close here. Philippians 4, again, this is a huge topic. But I hope that we can at least stop today to say, you know, I've got to make some changes in my life and not look in the mirror and turn away, not to give up on this, because there's a relationship between what you do physically and what you do spiritually as well. If you refuse to change physically, how can you change spiritually? This goes hand in hand. Both are hard. Both are very difficult. The whole mindset's got to change. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. I love this because this shows what a happy attitude we ought to have. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So what if I'm watching part of the news and I see all these Democrats complaining against the Republicans? I mean, does that one go, hey, yee-haw? I just thought, I know it's there. You know what the mindset should be? Guess what? We get to change that. That should be our mindset. We're preparing ourselves that we can change this entire world, but the thinking has got to change. Ours does first. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Those preparations are there for him to return to this earth and for us to join him in changing all these things, but we're already going to be in that process. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And look what it says. Here's the promise that comes with that. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. This is the process. Let's make some changes. I look forward to be on board with you. I'll give you some updates. Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better, getting my exercise program in, trying to do the same thing. Let's pray for each other that we can make a change in this life. Let's do the turning over of the new leaf, making something positive as we go into the Feast of Pentecost, knowing that it can't be done without the Spirit of God. So let's make those changes. Let's be physically healthy and spiritually healthy.